The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Well, here we are, the final hour of the final day of the week, August 5th, 2022. What will we do? What will we make of it? Every time a week winds down, I always think, you know, how much of this did we foresee? We knew the Pelosi trip to Taiwan was going to happen. We didn't know there'd be, you know, a week of live fire exercises by the Chinese. I told you that Sinema would probably join Manchin in falling back into her natural habitat with the Democrat Party. Certainly didn't see Kansas sticking up for abortion rights. Whoops, what does that mean? So we've had a lot of things to wrap our heads around. And so in a final hour of looking at the week gone by and the weekend ahead, let us at least clear the mind with the following certainty. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. I got a year. Wow!
You guys know how much I love this band, right?
Rolling down Highway 9.
It's Some Little Feet for your Friday. After the death of Lowell George, there was about 7 years, maybe more than that, before they put out a studio album. After the death of Lowell George, that's Craig Fuller on the vocal. And Let It Roll. Yeah, during the Lowell George, through albums like Feet Don't Fail Me Now and Sailing Shoes, just such good stuff in the early 70s. And then Lowell George tragically dies in the late 70s, and they just kind of go on hiatus forever, wondering if they would really ever put it back together, put out one of the great live albums of all time called Waiting for Columbus in 1977. I was in the crowd for one of those dates at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. Little Feet is just so great. And so when they sort of recobbled things together, put out a great album called Let It Roll in 1988. So there you go. Okay, let's roll into the 9 o'clock hour. 866-660-5759. So, got the DeSantis appearance on Tucker last night. Get some of the overnight journalism, such as it is, on the so-called anti-inflation measure. It's nothing of the kind. It's tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend, and a number of other things. And the poor, just showing that we do everything large and small around here, especially by the time we get to 9 o'clock, and especially by the time we get to 9 o'clock on a Friday. What poor Cracker Barrel. In Gordon's newscast earlier, he's talking about how people just went medieval on Cracker Barrel for a menu item that they had. Now, it ain't nothing I'm going to be availing myself of, but if they want to have it on the menu, whatever. And it's like, so on alternate days, Cracker Barrel is like a Klan meeting in progress, like Cracker Barrel is racist. What? And now we got the I'll get to the menu item thing in a second, because what I want to do is get to folks on the phone. 866-660-5759. We are in Burleson. Wayne, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I am good.
I've got a question. I was listening to one of your callers earlier. He said he was conservative and everything, and he was talking about Cornyn and Cruz. He didn't seem to like Cruz that much.
Yes.
He had the positive stuff to say about Cornyn, and, I'm kind of the opposite way, and I'm just curious, why do so many people not like Cruz? I like him.
Oh, well, I love him. And here's the simplistic answer, which is true in most cases. And if we want to put this under the, you know, under the magnifying glass, we can. But I mean, the left hates him. All right. So if you find and deservedly so, because he opposes everything. Well, no hate is deserved, but their opposition is understandable. Find me 100 Republicans, and if there's a passel of them in that group that don't like Cruz, in most cases it's because he's more conservative than they are, that he is down the line consistent on some issues which might place them in conflict with their softness on borders or Second Amendment. I mean, I so loved the gentleman who was our call in like the entire front half of the 8 o'clock hour, but I asked him about red flag laws and he said, well, maybe legislators can find a way to make red flag laws. No, red flag laws are unconstitutional.
He was the one I was listening
right.
to.
It was a wonderful call. He is not as ardent on the Second Amendment as I am, as Cruz, which, by the way, is fine. Everybody can be what they want to be. So the short answer, and then we can explore further, is that most Republican distaste of Ted Cruz is from soft Republicans, is from squish Republicans, most of it.
Okay, that pretty much. Answers my question because, like I said, I'm a strong Cruz supporter, and I couldn't understand why so many so-called conservatives didn't care for him.
So now there is there's an asterisk, or as they say in Maryland, asterisk, and and let me run this by you, and as we are both admitted members of the Ted Cruz fan club, let me ask you if you have forgotten 2016. In fact, let me ask you, 2016, Cruz is running, Trump is running. If I'd asked you early in the race, who was your guy?
It was still been Cruz.
No, gotcha. Me too. It was until he stepped out of the race. And I spent a ton of time in 2016 saying Cruz is my guy. But I spent more time defending Donald Trump against the weird, baseless criticism of him than I did talking about why I thought Cruz was great. I guess because I've spent a decade talking about how great Cruz is. And the Trump haters were already taking shape, and I needed to beat that ridiculousness down so that when Trump beat Cruz in the Indiana primary, May 5th, 2016, and Cruz gets out, it was the easiest pivot in the world. It's like, okay, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'm all in for Trump. It took a millisecond. Yeah, Ted didn't make that pivot as easily as you and I did.
Right.
And it was weird, and it was uncomfortable, and even to the convention in Cleveland later in the summer, it's time for the Ted Cruz speech. And it's like, okay, here we go. Unity is busting out all over because it's what we all love. What do we all love as Republicans? And Democrats love it too. After there's been a real brutal primary battle, all is forgiven. Let's all row the boat in the same direction. We're all, you know, leaning together, singing Kumbaya. And there was Ted taking the stage. And he did not do that. He didn't speak ill. He didn't speak ill. He didn't speak ill of Trump. But it was this weirdly phrased vote your conscience thing. It's like, what? Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just wondering how much of that though was because of the types of personal attacks that Trump did.
None of it. And I'll tell you why I can confidently say none of it is I know my friend Ted Cruz. And I asked him about this off the air. I mean, and listen, there's the great thing I can say about Ted is there's largely no difference between an on-air and an off-air conversation with him. He is as smart, is as funny, is as brilliant, and is as forthright. But I really it's late in 16. I think he's blowing through town, and I think he'd already been on the show, came by the station, and we had right in this room a little heart-to-heart because his – God, can I – okay. I get, all right. Nobody ever said I couldn't talk about this. His people were baffled as to why so many of his people who love him were giving him holy hell for being for maintaining a certain Trump skepticism. And not like I'm the oracle of such things, but I do talk to people for a living every day, all day. And the question really arose is like, why are they beating me to death on this? And I told him, I said, it's because there's nothing that's more important than beating Hillary. It is this simple. Unity helps us beat Hillary, so unity is good. Any remaining bugaboos you may have about Trump are a problem because it hurts us in job one, which is beating Hillary. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem, and everybody who loves you is waiting for you to get on board so that we can all feel good about each other. And we don't hear about vote your conscience or nonsense like that. Our conscience tells us we got to prevent the Hillary presidency. That's our conscience speaking to us loudly every day. And I'm not going to say that I magically, you know, made him more comfortable about that. But it wasn't long thereafter that he hopped on board, where he has remained Trump appreciative ever since. Now, how do I know that I literally asked him, I said, is this because of the admittedly just stupid stuff? The retweet of the thing of the picture of Heidi, the stroke your chin G was Rafael Cruz involved with Castro. I mean, we all know that's just seething nonsense, but you got to let this roll. And he said, stop talking. This has nothing. I know that's Donald. Nobody wants to see your wife insulted or your dad impugned, but that's not what this is about. And I said, what then? Please God, tell me, what is it about? He had sincere, profound doubts that this Donald Trump person would cleave to the Constitution in the way that he would cleave to the Constitution and the notion of constitutional governance in the way that conservatism requires. And he had real doubts that he would do that. I think he might have had some fears, some concerns that once achieving the presidency, it would be all about him. It wouldn't be about the agenda, that we wouldn't get the Supreme Court justices that he had promised. We wouldn't get the kind of stuff. And listen, Ted Cruz was not alone. He was not alone in having either doubts or questions like, man, is this guy really going to deliver? And now history has shown that he absolutely did. Those were the Cruz doubts. I got over it immediately. I understood the basis of his doubts. I said, listen, the time for those doubts is now over. He is our nominee. We have one job. Help him win. And he did. Thank God he did.
I voted for him twice. I would vote for him again a third time. But that being said, I'd like to see DeSantis get it.
And that is a moving, shifting. Every time somebody tells me that, I make note of it, and I go, "Okay, boop, boop. Is this a growing part of the Republican pie? I don't know. Might be. Is it growing toward 51%? Toward a majority of Republicans wanting DeSantis over Trump? I don't think we're there yet. I don't know if we ever will be. But I'm just it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I'm just paying attention, man. Just paying attention. Wayne, God bless you. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful call. 921 Mark Davis, 660 AM. The answer. You never needed me. You only wanted me around. Get it? All together now. 1, 2, 3. Change of heart, Petty and the Heartbreakers from Long After Dark. Listen, a lot of people had a change of heart. And listen, how many times did I say this as 2016 turned into 2017, the first year of the actual Trump presidency? I said there are two kinds of people who were Trump skeptical, Trump opponents, Trump phobic. There are two kinds of people. I mean, among actual conservatives, and that is the folks who have eyes and ears and a brainstem to process that he is for real, and those who don't. So for those who got it, for those who went, okay, I guess we're good here, from Ted Cruz to Rick Perry. Rick Perry called Donald Trump a cancer on conservatism, and then turn your head and he's in the cabinet. He's like one of Trump's best friends. I was like, oh, that's called learning. That's called paying attention. That's all. 866-660-5759. We are in Denton. Sergio, Mark Davis, happy Friday. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just, for others that feel the same way as your previous caller, I believe his name was Scott, regarding Liz Cheney operating under conscience with the January 6th hearings.
Mm-hmm.
My first point is it's a kangaroo court. There's no rebuttal. There's no opportunity for Trump and his team to even rebut any of these accusations, certainly in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basic American decency, number one. And number two, just dragging others that were either on staff or obliquely associated with Trump through the congressional subpoenas and all the legal wranglings and expense, unfortunately, that they have to go through for this kangaroo court. So, for others that are like-minded, I think you have to look at the total picture. And I think that Liz Cheney is not operating under some moral conscience. I think she just hatred is driving her along with the other so-called Republicans.
Yeah.
And just a point that there are many people call themselves Republicans, but I believe very few of them are conservative.
I don't know about very few, but not enough of them are. And you could be whatever you want. I mean, you could be a liberal Republican. You can be a squishy moderate Republican. You can be whatever you want. Republican really has no great meaning other than I am aligning myself with his party. Conservative means something. Conservative requires something of you. And that's why it's a far more important label. Sergio, thank you, sir. And as for, Liz Cheney, and I probably shall we break our hearts together one more time and play the Dick Cheney 60-second ad for his daughter? So, he loves his daughter. But, dude, it's so horrible. It is so horrible. But one thing that would give Liz or any of these folks on this stupid committee some cred is that's intellectual honesty. And that's if they did have an open – if they had a let, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks of Indiana onto this committee, and Nancy Pelosi said, nope. The only Republicans we're going to have are the Trump-hating weasels, thank you, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. That's not bipartisan, please. And so if they'd allowed this, if like every other congressional hearing you've ever seen, you'd have questions from one side and then questions from an opposing side. You'd have people make points over here and people make, countervailing points over there. That's not what this has been about. Not at any point. It's been an intellectually dishonest campaign of destruction. All right, 9:31, many exciting things remain in our home stretch half hour. Let's plow through it and begin it as we do at the bottom of each hour with a little Gordon Griffin newscast. I'm Mark Davis, 9:31.
Way down south in the Everglades, where the black water rolls and the sawgrass swings, eagles fly and the...
We've certainly talked a lot about Florida today and these days, so here's a great song about Florida by a great artist from Florida. Greatness of Seminole Wind from the catalog of the great John Anderson. Yeah, but that ain't John Anderson. That's Luke Combs, who's also great. And so are all of the folks who have gathered on the freshly released Something Borrowed, Something New, a tribute to John Anderson, who, by the way, is not dead. He put out an album a couple of years ago, the great John Anderson. So you've got an old recording of John Prine doing 1959. You got Eric Church doing Mississippi Moon. I don't get Eric Church. I just don't. I'm sorry. You got Sturgill Simpson doing When It Comes to You. You got the great Ashley McBride doing Straight Tequila Night. I get chills. So Something Borrowed, Something New, a tribute to John Anderson. All right, there you go. It's out now. And so just to grab that on your iTunes or wherever you get you your music. All right, 939 866-660-5759. Let me hop back to calls here in a sec. But let me go ahead. I actually kind of want to get this over with because a lot of y'all don't know what I've been talking about. So here it is. It is a campaign ad. I understand it. Dads love daughters. But if it has been disappointing to have to lose Liz Cheney, I mean, it's like a family. It's like an army. It's like a fellowship where you got people, everybody that is smart and of good heart and sound mind and great gift to help forward conservatism is somebody that I'm inclined to heap admiration on. And I spent many years doing that for Liz Cheney until Trump hatred ate her brain. Well, here's Dad. And it's a campaign ad for his daughter. So there, and you know, all of us as fathers, especially fathers of daughters, can see how, but no, just no. Just no. Not when you ladle out steaming garbage like this. Dick Cheney is broken.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump.
Really? Really? Never in our 246-year history? Never?
To steal the last election, using lies and violence to keep...
Using violence? He used violence? Really?
...in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it.
So you may believe it. You think he knows it? You think that Trump, deep down, if you attach Trump to a lie detector, go, I know I lost, I'm just, you know, no, what? And as far as most Republicans know it, do you believe that most Republicans think that the 2020 election was valid? I mean, 50.0001% or more. Really? And by the way, this is where the Never Trump hate cult commits its worst offenses. Everybody's entitled. You can like Trump, not like Trump, whatever. If there are a bunch of people out there saying, man, I do not want him to be president again for this reason, this reason, this reason, either because of policies, which are things that matter, or, you know, the personal stuff, which is a part of everybody's relationship with a candidate. But it's the savagery. It's the intellectual dishonesty. It is the back of the hand shown to millions of voters. That's what makes these people so inexplicable.
Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so.
So you are scared. So everybody who actually believes that the result was tainted are fear-bitten dummies. This is the condescension. This is the self-absorption. This is the narcissism of the Trump hate cult that apparently the entire Cheney family now belongs to.
Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office.
Really? There's nothing more important that she will ever do. That's another thing about these. This is why this is a mental illness, and I don't throw that around lightly. So more important than strong borders, more important than battling for the unborn, more important than fiscal sanity, more important than constitutionalist Supreme Court justices, more important than any conservative thing on the long punch list that I could give, more important than all of those things is making sure that Trump cannot run. So again, and this goes way beyond opposing him. If Trump winds up being the nominee or is in the primaries and he and DeSantis are duking it out, there will be Republicans who don't want him, who don't prefer him. And that's fine. But this insulting degradation of those who dare not to hang with them in their little treehouse of hate, that's the problem.
And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. I proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will, too.
Yeah, well, I'm talking to Mike this morning. I almost feel like I don't want to fully emotionally invest. Because if I allow myself to believe, I just don't want to be crushed. I just don't. But it really is looking. I mean, a bunch of polls, and it's kind of funny. You know how we feel about polls. You know, we diss the ones that we don't agree with. We embrace the ones we do. Polls are usually a little more accurate than most of us have, you know, like to admit sometimes. But I got to tell you, Harriet Hagerman is all over Liz Cheney right now in Wyoming. The good people of Wyoming cannot, they just cannot reward her treachery. They can't. All right, we've done a lot of talk about Ted Cruz today and some things from a few years past. How about something from just one day past? You know that Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, and the FBI is broken. The FBI is totally broken. The left breaks everything it touches, and leftism and wokeism has inflicted the FBI. Ted Cruz was talking to FBI Director Christopher Wray about a bit of training material that stigmatizes the Betsy Ross flag, the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, and the Gonzalez Come and Take It flag as signs of militia violent extremism.
Director Wray, I'm deeply concerned that the FBI and the Department of Justice have become thoroughly politicized. I think this is a problem that began during the Obama administration. I think it metastasized with career officials during the Trump administration, and I think it continues and is even worse today under the Biden administration. I don't believe you personally reflect that politicization, but I think you've been unwilling to root it out.
Bingo.
And unwilling to hold people accountable for the politicization. I hear regularly from FBI agents and from professionals at the Department of Justice who are dismayed that our law enforcement has been weaponized and politicized rather than remaining apolitical as it has been for the history of our country. Yesterday, it was reported that Project Veritas had obtained a copy of an FBI training material which listed various symbols and themes which, in the FBI's estimation, were indicative of, quote, militia violent extremism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these symbols weren't things like the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party, which naturally would be symbols of that. But instead, they included, rather astonishingly, patriotic symbols of our nation and our history. Included on this list is the Betsy Ross flag. Now, that's fairly remarkable that the Betsy Ross flag in the FBI's indication is indicative of militia violent extremism, because among other people who have been publicly alongside the Betsy Ross flag, we have President Barack Obama, who was sworn in directly underneath two Betsy Ross flags. But it's not just President Obama. We also have President Biden, who was sworn in under Betsy Ross flags. It's not just the Betsy Ross flag. Also on this list is the Gadsden flag as a symbol of violent extremism. Now, the state of Virginia has a license plate for the Gadsden flag.
And Florida's going to make one, too. And you do know about the Betsy Ross flag. That's with the star. That's with the 13 stripes and then the 13 colonies in a circle. In the white stars in the blue field in the upper left, that's the Betsy Ross flag. The Gadsden flag is the Don't Tread on Me flag, which was ubiquitous at Tea Party gatherings, which is where it developed its stigma.
Many other states, I think people would be astonished to find that having that license plate, the FBI indicates that you're a violent extremist. Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck, is the Gonzales battle flag.
Come and take it.
Come and take it. As indicative of being a violent extremist militia. Well, I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Wray, what are y'all doing? This makes no sense. Do you agree with this FBI guidance that the Betsy Ross flag,
all right,
and the Gadsden flag and the Gonzales battle flag are signs of militia violent extremism?
Well, Senator, I'm not familiar with the particular document you have behind you.
Really?
Convenient. I'm not in the practice of trying to comment on documents that I haven't recognize, but I will tell you that when we put out intelligence products, including ones that reference symbols, which we do across a wide variety of contexts, we usually take great pains to put caveats and warnings in the document that make clear that a symbol alone is not considered evidence of violent extremism.
But they haven't done that. They can talk all day and weave all kinds of delightful tales of objectivity and care and distinctions like that, but they don't do it. They don't do it. They are more than willing to smear millions of Americans because that's what the woke lexicon requires them to do. Law enforcement is, the FBI is broken. Law enforcement, our military, obviously science, are all being strangled by the left. And that's another of the fights that we engage in every day. Huh. But hey, it's the weekend. Let's get out of here. Next. Love me some Rick Derringer. Let Me In from the self-titled band album Derringer in 1976. So as we bid farewell for the week, say see you on Monday. Have a great, great weekend. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Gordon, for news excellence. And I have one piece of news. Put something on the calendar 3 weeks from tonight. Come on, sweet mama. On the 26th, big Dallas premiere for Uncle Tom 2. Larry Elder in town. Alan West in town. Officer Brandon Tatum in town. And I'm emceeing a little Q&A after we show everybody the movie. Look for details at 660amtheanswer.com. I think that'll hit on Monday, but I wanted to tell you ahead of time because I love you, man. Yeah, 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 yeah. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher next. Have a rockin' weekend. See you on Monday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.